Good song.
I got to put an end to this right now.
Extended version.
I got something better. I got Chris Myers on line one. Chris Myers, NFL on Fox, MLB on Fox, NASCAR on Fox, and your TV play-by-play announcer for the Buccaneers preseason. Chris Myers, how's your summer been, man? How are you?
Hey, Chris.
It's good to talk to you guys again. I'm doing fine. I'm sitting in Tampa. We had a little rain shower, got a little humidity, so we're ready to go for the Bucs preseason home opener at Raymond James on Friday night against the Dolphins.
What do you think of the new facility up there indoors?
Oh, it's a great, the One Buc Place, the Advent Health Center, especially for the training camp, it's outstanding, and having the stadium nearby. And of course, Raymond James renovated with different phases for the Super Bowl in a couple of years, so it'll be good to get a good look at that. And the Super Bowl is at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami this year, where they just kind of went through their renovation.
Chris, what are your thoughts on Jameis Winston so far? A lot of people are saying he's improved. I know we only had like six passes to gauge from last week, but are you buying it? I mean, he's got to be improved, or else he's not going to be around.
Yes, good point. And it's way too early to tell. You know, we've said this. I've done these preseason games for the last 10 or 12. With Jameis, we've kind of said this every year, and then things happen. You know, when it counts, when you need to win games. And that's why Bruce Arians is here. We've had coaching changes and offensive coordinator changes. So, I mean, in your fifth year here, you should know what you have at a quarterback. And yet I still think he was the better pick over Mariota when you talk about it. And he did a quarterback, and he's got all the physical tools, and he works hard. He's a good guy. You talk to him. He's a young guy who straightened things out in his life. So I expect him to have, and I don't want to hear excuses about, this wasn't great, the defense, or he had different coordinators, or he's got an outstanding group of receivers, some of the tallest, most talented receivers with Evans, O.J. Howard, a tight end. Yeah, there's not a great running game, but, quarterbacks need to have success finding their receivers. So with Bruce Arians, I find that part fascinating. I think he'll probably have the best head coach with an offensive mind and an understanding of quarterbacks that he's ever had. It's not to knock the other guys. It's just that Arians, as you know, has had success with people like Peyton Manning and Carson Palmer and Luck and so on. So I'm expecting big things from Winston and this offense this year. And he's got to really step up and be healthy enough and be into it mentally enough and deliver what the coach wants in a critical situation.
Can't see a lot of video what's going on the last couple of days, Chris, but I know Minka Fitzpatrick, the defensive back for the Dolphins, has had Winston. I think I'm up to five picks. I may be off by one, but he certainly has been his nemesis in practice.
Yeah, they're doing well. I know that's a concern, right? Because that's Jameis, and he had that problem as good as he was at FSU. He's so good, thinks he can force the ball, and you turn it over. And at the NFL level, he's had that same problem. Too many turnovers, whether it's hanging in the pocket, surviving a pass rush and fumbling. But, the scrimmages, and this is something the Bucs and Dolphins wanted to do to set this up for a couple of days this week, have the head-to-head scrimmages, and then the game on Friday. It really helps, gets extra work in for a lot of the guys on the coaching staff to see what's going on. And, Brian, the new coach with the Dolphins, comes from the Patriots as their defensive coordinator, so he's got a defensive mind for any quarterback, knowing how to match up against him. And I'm not sure what kind of team the Dolphins will have. They have their own problems at quarterback and offense, where they have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who started last year for the Bucs, and then Josh Rosen. But their defense, they can scheme you, and that's not a good sign if Winston can't even get through scrimmages. Again, I don't think we can nitpick practices and preseason games, but when it starts in the regular season, that'll be a better gauge. But I think Winston has all the tools. The interesting part about this year with Bruce Arians is he's always been a go for it downfield, air it out, let's hit the big play home run ball. And he's had to kind of come in with Jameis and turn him the other way and say, look, you need to check it down once in a while, and you need to you don't have to make every play. You have a team around you. So it's a little bit of a different adjustment for him and Leftwich, who's the new offensive coordinator, who thinks like Arians. Leftwich is going to call the plays, which I think I would feel better with Arians doing it, but they're on the same page, and Arians will have a call. So I think that'll be interesting to watch as this Bucs team goes forward.
Talking with Chris Myers here with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. What's plan B for the backup between Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin? And I think Ryan Griffin is an interesting story. I know Dirk Cutter was always high on him. They always kept him around every year. You and Gene Deckerhoff have probably seen more Ryan Griffin throws than anybody in the country. We always see him in August, and then we never see him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's never thrown a pass, right? And this is what, he's 29 years old. He's never thrown a pass in an NFL game. I said he's the Peyton Manning of August. I mean, yeah. You know, his performance in that two quarters or plus or whatever in Pittsburgh was outstanding with you know, third unit offensive linemen and receivers. And he, you know, he had good numbers out of college. Actually, Sean Payton liked him when the Saints had him on their roster, and then they did well, but the Bucs kind of picked him off from there, and he's been reliable enough, but he's never been able to get into a game for various reasons, and now it's a tough spot. Now, you know, in his history, Bruce Arians has carried three quarterbacks, but, you know, I don't know in this spot. Gabbert's kind of ahead in the backup spot, and Arians leans towards veterans who know his offense, and he's been in that system, and is very comfortable with Gabbert. But I just think that you're going to lose a guy like Griffin, and somebody will give him a shot somewhere to play in an NFL game. I will say this, there were a couple of key spots in some preseason games where Gene Deckerhoff, the great radio voice of the Bucs, and I saw where Griffin could have really excelled when he had the main unit in, and he didn't step up, and that maybe the previous coaching staff saw that. Mm-hmm. We saw that. Maybe that's why we're saying, hey, you know, why hasn't this happened yet? But I do think, as Arian said, and he said this about Ronald Jones, the running back, I don't know what these guys did last year. I mean, I know what the record was, but I'm judging each player on this Bucs roster by what they're doing now at training camp and what I see. And so that could be an encouraging sign for Griffin as well as it has been for Ronald Jones, a running back.
Well, Bruce Arians sounded a little agitated today. He sent a message, it seemed, about the 90-man roster, saying it'd be easy to cut down to 60 right now. So I'm asking you, from your perspective, the difference in the culture and the mood of the organization from Cutter to Arians, and you know, you were there, you've been there, so
true. And even going back, you know, through Greg Schiano and Raheem Morris, and when Lovie Smith was here, and I like Arians. I've covered his teams in Arizona, and even when he went to the championship game and lost to the Panthers a few years ago, when the Carolina Panthers went on into the Super Bowl and lost the Broncos, And he's got his band around him. I think Todd Bowles, to me, what made this deal so good for the Bucs, you know, obviously hiring Arians to see what you got in your quarterback, because then you got to make a decision if you're going to draft one next year or sign Jameis long term, and this is his best chance. But getting Todd Bowles, who's been a head coach, had a rough spot. I don't judge him by the one loss results with the Jets as a head coach, but he's an outstanding defensive coordinator. He'll get this defense. Will make terrific leaps and bounds compared to where they have been the last few years, even with some limited talent. And yeah, that comment from Arians, I think he's upset a little bit about, you know, the lack of depth. You know, they have some injuries at the safety spot. The offensive line hasn't really come together. You know, yeah, I don't think they're kind of pulling pieces together. So that there just isn't the kind of depth in spots that this team needs. And I think he's also was very upset. This is from a team that hired their own referee consultant, a former NFL official, to help with replay challenges and coach the team on penalties. And the 14 penalties, I think, off the top of my head from last week. I know a lot of this is special teams and mixing up 90 players, but that's just inexcusable. And so that's another thing that I think he's been very upset about. So the culture, I think it's optimistic, it's confident, but I can say that I didn't see that in Dirk Cutter. I saw the same kind of thing. Yeah. With their Cutter, and they got off to the good start last year, and then things the wheels came off. So the defense will be better. I think we can count on that. I think Jameis and Arians, that combo with the set of receivers they have, should be better. Is it better than the teams in the division? And you got to beat your division opponents. Can they beat Carolina? Can they beat the Saints? Can they beat Atlanta? I think they can, and then how they do otherwise will tell whether this team is a playoff contender or even, you know, a 500 team.
Chris Myers is with us from the NFL on Fox and, of course, the Buccaneers preseason TV play-by-play announcer. As you prepare for this game, obviously you know what Ryan Fitzpatrick can do. Haven't seen him last year, and you just mentioned him a moment ago. How about the other side? What do you, a guy that covers the NFL, expect out of Josh Rosen as far as his ability to compete? I know you also saw him in his college days in your hometown of Los Angeles at UCLA. Do you expect anything out of him, or are they back to, like, you know, tanking for Tua and going to do this all over again next year?
Yeah, they're in an awkward spot. And I, you know, as a native Floridian, a guy who was born here, grew up here before I moved on, I always loved the Dolphins Bucks, even in the preseason, just as a football fan. So there's a lot of fun with this matchup. But I think, yeah, they're in a different kind of quarterback quandary. They traded for Rosen to see and say, okay, we could develop. And yet they aren't convinced enough right now. My vibe is that he's not going to be, if you had to name your starter, it's Fitzpatrick. And it's the same thing I saw at UCLA. And I even talked to some people who scouted him there, and I did a few of his games, and then did a game with when Rosen was at Arizona. And there's some skill there. There's a certain strong arm. He can make the big league throws that you need to make, and yet he's just there's something lacking about the leadership of that position. And he's a confident guy when you talk to him. And we've heard about, I think it's unfair to say, some personality issues or problems, you know, away from the actual game. I haven't seen that myself, and Larry Fitzgerald defended him in that part last year. Mm-hmm. But I think they're not sold, and they're going to have to wait. They're going to wait this out and see if they need to use him this year. But if they want to win games, meaning the Dolphins, I think they're going to go with Fitzpatrick at this point. But I think Rosen could play in the NFL. Would be a star in the NFL. I wouldn't bet on that.
Well, he certainly, and I agree with you, the UCLA analogy came up yesterday, and Brian Flores was clearly, was expecting a little bit more because he talked about body language. And, yep. You know, it's great when things are going well. We say this all the time in professional sports. It's not the character and the leadership when things are going well. It's when things are not going so well. And he's got to stop, I don't know, for lack of a better term, moping around a little bit after a drop ball, or if he screws up or whatever. I think that's what, you know, I'm certainly going to be watching for that on Friday night.
Yeah, and I think we use the term maturity, and maybe that's unfair, but that's our pouting, and I know where you're going with that. I think people are getting our description, just like a coaching staff is. You've got to handle that better because you're a leader of men, or at least they're counting on you. But remember, Cam Newton, as good as he was, we would see him do that on the sidelines of Carolina, the towel on the head and that type of thing. So body language is one thing, delivering. When you need it, and a quarterback, you know, he's got to win some games himself sometimes. I mean, whether you're Brady or Manning or whoever, whether it's, you know, diving for the first down or ad-libbing on a play that breaks down to in a key spot. And the guys who have that, you know, they're the ones who win more. And I don't know that Rosen has shown that even in college, actually, but he does have the physical skills, even though he's not a strong, big, bulky kind of guy. He certainly got the arm and the accuracy. And that's the other thing, the accuracy he does have, which a lot of quarterbacks don't with big arms. We just haven't seen it on display on a regular basis.
Chris Myers is with us, going to be broadcasting the Bucs and the Dolphins Friday, also with the NFL on Fox, and with your coverage of the NFL over the years. I'd like to pick your brain on some other things going on, too. I know you know John Gruden, and, you know, we see what we see on Hard Knocks, and his public statements yesterday about A.B., seemed very, almost a bend over backwards to be very supportive of him. I would imagine, I've only met Gruden once, you know him better than I do, it's got to be tearing him up that this guy can't get on a practice field for silly reasons. What's your whole spin on this?
Yeah, and first of all, John Gruden is good TV. He was as an announcer, he was as a Bucs coach, and he'll be as a Raider coach, and certainly on Hard Knocks. But now he's not paid to be good TV, he's paid to win games, and I think they're on a long-term, let's move to Las Vegas plan. And you didn't sign, you know, you didn't want to pay the money for the defensive player that you traded to the Bears and got the haul for. And yet you go out and get a receiver who I don't think is he's a top 10 receiver. I don't think he's he's better than Julio Jones or Hopkins, or there's others I'd put ahead of him. And yet, you know, when's the last time a star receiver, you know, that team won the Super Bowl, and it's not an automatic thing. I guess you got to go back to Michael Irvin, maybe Jerry Rice, way back at that area. I mean, Brady's won without that. Randy Moss didn't even win a Super Bowl. So you know, that's an area of a game. You need quarterbacks, and you need defense, and you need good coaching. And that's fine when the Bucs won with Gruden. They didn't have star receivers. It was their defense and some sound quarterbacking play from Brad Johnson. So I'm a little, I'm not sure where that organization is going. I mean, he's got control. He's got the long-term contract. He got all the people he wanted in place. And I think that he's just taking his time to get the people he wants. So when they open the stadium in Vegas, they'll be contending. And I don't know if he can automatically flip the switch on that. And he doesn't, my impression is, and maybe you've seen this and you'll see more of it, but it's in and around the league that he's just, here's another quarterback. Seems like we're talking about each one of these guys the same way. He's not sold on Derek Carr. You know, I was when I saw him play. I did some of his first games in the league and under different coaching with Del Rio. But that's an issue. If you're not happy with that guy, then are you starting over with a quarterback in the next year or trying to trade him, get more draft picks? So I'm not sure. I'm not seeing the game plan. Hopefully Gruden has it the way he wants it from his point of view, but I'm not seeing it yet. Hmm.
Do you see Jerry Jones caving anytime soon in regards to, let's just stick with Ezekiel. We can go through all three, meaning, you know, Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper, but just with Ezekiel Elliott, do you think he will be playing for the Cowboys in week one? Will Jerry Jones cave? And if he does, what do you think the price will be?
Yeah, that's a good, you know, I don't think he'll, this is just my guess, and I was up at, you know, training camp. I haven't followed the situation as closely financially with agents. So history with Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, I don't think Cave, if he's going to be in for week one, it's going to be something, some other arrangement. So if I had to lean, and this is a 50-50, maybe going 51-49, I would say he's not in, he's not ready for week one. And I think the priority, and I know you want to just go to Elliott because he's key, but the priority, and this is how Jerry's thinking, is big picture. I got to get Dak Prescott settled and signed because this is who we want, and he's a model citizen for our franchise. And Cooper would be third on that list with Elliott, but Elliott has had some other issues, even though we know he's led the league in rushing two of the last 3 years and really benefits from that great offensive line that Dallas had. But you remember DeMarco Murray, you know, plugged in. Now, Jerry Jones thinks, hey, we can plug in any kind of back behind this line and we're going to get those numbers, he's wrong. And I don't think he thinks that, but maybe he'd like to give that illusion to Elliott and to his agents. So I think eventually they'll work it out, but I don't see it happening for week one if Elliott sticks to his guns. And I think that could be a problem because the Cowboys have, I think, a very good defense. A defense good enough to win in the NFCs and win that division. But I think their offense, and with a new offensive coordinator, I'm not sold on Kellen Moore, and Jason Garrett in a lame duck year as a head coach, I think that can create some further problems. And that may be something on the mind of Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones in the bigger picture that we're not even aware of. Yeah. And that may have something to do with how they allot money for Elliott.
Very interesting. Yeah. Chris, the Andrew Luck story seems to me to have some parallels to the last time he was injured with a shoulder. We got owners and GMs saying, oh, yeah, it's fine. It's a process. Then the injury keeps changing a little bit. Yada, yada, yada. Andrew Luck is out for a long time. Now they're even speculating he might not be ready for the regular season. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm a little shocked. We did one of their games last year, sat with Luck, and he was talking about how he was feeling better and on his way back, and he played well. It was a game against the Eagles. They lost, but he played well enough and seemed healthy enough. And now apparently there's been a physical regression. There was always a little doubt, you know, in his mind and in the franchise and in the medical people, the mind of the medical people with him, that, you know, yeah, you can come back, but to what degree are you going to be back the way you were? And not being a doctor as inclined on the physical part, the fact that they're saying he may not play in the preseason, and even ownership and Irsay is aware of this, I think that they need to start. It's not panic here, but they need to stay on this and have the right guy in place if he's not going to be healthy enough or if there's going to be doubt down the road. Because they go from a playoff slash really Super Bowl contender, the way they played defense and as well coached as they were, to a team that who knows if he's not able to go. And that's a major drop off in a division that's very winnable for them, given some other teams that are improving.
Well, Chris, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and I always appreciate you making time for us. We are a Bucks radio affiliate here, so do you know the first month of the NFL regular season? Are you getting any Bucks games already?
Yes, actually, I have. I opened Daryl Johnston and I. Of course, I do the Bucks preseason TV, WFLA, on the affiliate with Rondé Barber, who, by the way, is going in the Ring of Honor week three, and we're happy for that, well-deserved. But Daryl Johnston and I, we opened the season with the Rams at Carolina, but week four, we do have the Buccaneers out in Los Angeles to play the Rams, the defending Super Bowl champions. So I know that's on our schedule, and I'm excited about that.
A nice home game for you, too. Well, we'll call you that week. We'd love to have you on. That'd be great. We'll see how the season's going at that point. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Yes, thank you very much. Anytime. Enjoy talking to you.
Thank you very much. All right. That is Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox, MLB on Fox, NASCAR on Fox, and the Buccaneers preseason announcer for TV.